Technorama episode 358 for October 31st. Normally scary enough.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Trick or treat!
Over there, in the media corner.
Sweet, thanks!
Oh man, I gotta rock.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
When you do that, I think, I gotta rock!
I gotta fight for my right.
No, that's a different song.
I know.
That's Beastie Boys.
I know.
Welcome to Technorama for October 31st, 2012. This is a show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I dressed up in my, well, okay, I'm still left over from my jujitsu gi. Yeah. And with me on the other end is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing good. I'm wearing my once-a-year Halloween shirt.
Now, we should say this is... warning, I am a brain-eating zombie. Don't worry, you're safe.
So witty.
We tried to record this on Sunday night, our usual time, but Craig was not feeling well. So yeah. I asked Steve Rickenberg if he could join. And once again, I always ask on the opportunities where he's not available.
Of course.
And I would have said, great. You know, that would have worked out so well. I could have said Craig dressed up as Steve Rickenberg.
Yeah. Or Steve Rickenberg dressed up as me.
So happy Halloween, everybody. We hope everybody had a safe and made it through the hurricane all right. We wish everybody on the East Coast a happy repair and back to normal operations as quickly as possible if you were affected.
That's never fun, I know.
But we have a very, very exciting Halloween episode coming up because in this episode we have a man dressed as Chewie frightens Ewoks. Superheroes have super debt. And boy fights for grade over info on the Big Bang Theory. None of that and more coming up right after this.
I know everybody would say, dang a gum, you're a geek.
How to cook an egg with your cell phone. You know, if somebody just made a cell phone like that, I'd buy it.
Or make eggs.
Does it take pictures and do all this other nonsense? I've got an MP3 player.
I've got my iPod video. I'm happy with that. I'm just not a converged device guy.
Well, I agree with that.
Yeah, it's got to make sense.
Damn, beat it down. Beat it.
Do you know what a Tesla coil is, Craig?
Say, stick your tongue to this.
Oh, we lost Craig.
We want to remind you that every week we do the show live on Google Plus. Well, the weeks where we're not on vacation or we're not extremely sick or something. But we do this hacking up a lung, which is a good Halloween costume, but only works once.
Put it back in.
And normally there'd be a chat room full of people and we would give them the most copious shout out. But since we're off schedule and they're not around because they're probably battening down the hatches.
Yeah.
We're going to move right into the birthday calendar because on November 1st, we have Amber Elstead's birthday. Happy birthday.
Yay.
November 3rd, we have two birthdays, probably to make up for one that's not on November 2nd. Ken Pace and Ranger Craig. Craig Glasner out on Alcatraz. You know, some sooner or later, his sentence is going to be over and he'll be able to leave Alcatraz.
No, he keeps getting rejected on parole.
We'll have to talk to the parole board about that. Yeah. Moving on to November 4th, we have Avner from Tel Aviv. Yeah, one of our long-term listeners, Avner, from far, far away in
That's
a galaxy
right.
long time
ago. I remember
ago.
That chocolate he brought us that one time.
Oh, yeah.
That
and
was cool.
We signed a microphone or something, right?
Yes, we did.
Okay. See, I...
It's in the show note. I'm just kidding.
It's in the wiki.
You don't remember nothing.
You signed this, remember? You keep forgetting. Right. And November 5th, Michael Corlett from New Zealand. All right. We have
I think Craig gets gets his parole denied because of association with us. So
probably. Are you still listening to that podcast? Yep. Denied.
If it's your birthday and you're not on the birthday calendar, we wish you a happy, happy birthday. If you're on the birthday calendar, we just wish you the single happy birthday.
Yeah.
And you want to get on the birthday calendar, head over to chuckchat.com/wiki and we'll wish you a happy birthday when it gets to be your birthday. Because that's the way we rock.
Yeah, we promise.
Speaking of rocks, I got to push this icon with a bunch of rocks because we're as old as history. So it's time for the history thing.
Okay.
On this day in history for October 31st, 2012, it was on this date in 1517 that Martin Luther posts his 95 theses on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, starting the Protestant Reformation.
And Nevada is admitted as the 36th state of the Union. No, wait. On this date, 148 years ago. Just go with it.
It was also today, 1913, that saw the dedication of the Lincoln Highway, the first automobile road across the United States.
And magician Harry Houdini died of gangrene and
peritonitis.
Yeah, that developed after his appendix ruptured in 86 years ago on Halloween. Wait a minute.
And we still hold the vigil every year to see if he can cross that void.
I thought he died doing a trick.
No, that's how he got injured.
Oh.
It was October 31st, 1941. After 14 years at work, Mount Rushmore is completed. Well, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. I saw the actual history of it. It wasn't like, oh, there, we're done. It was never finished.
That's right. And 13 years ago, yachtsman Jesse Martin returns from Melbourne after 11 months of circumcising the world.
We did that already.
Circumnavigating the world solo, nonstop, and unassisted.
Soyuz TM-31 launches on this date in 2000, carrying the first resident crew to the International Space Station. The ISS, get this, has been continuously crewed ever since.
Cool.
Happy birthday goes out of this date to German mathematician Carl Weierstrass, born today in 1815.
And also born on this date in 1860, American founder of the Girl Scouts, Juliette Lowe.
American singer and astronaut Dale Evans was born 100 years ago.
And American astronaut Michael Collins turns 82.
English physicist Paul Frampton, no relation to Peter Frampton, celebrates his 69th birthday today.
Do you feel like I do?
And Canadian comedian and actor John Candy would have been 62 today.
And finally, American rapper Vanilla Ice turns 45, baby.
American Shakespearean actor.
And comedian. And that's the way it was on this day in history for October 31st, 2012. Hey, we got some feedback. Remember last week we were talking about home security systems and it's time for an upgrade and something that was wireless and whatnot. Yeah. And you'd start talking about the Nest thermostat. Well, we got feedback from Steve. Loyal listener Steve writes, hey guys, I have the Nest thermostats. They are awesome. Here are a couple of screenshots from the app on my iPhone. Chuck should definitely watch the Nest video on their site. It sets up pretty easily. It's connected to my WPA-enabled Wi-Fi. The WPA, isn't that what they gave Jobs after the Depression?
WPA. No, that's what that kind of beer. I'm just kidding. That's IPA.
What, Wisconsin Pale Ale?
Yeah.
It's about this dark?
Yeah.
It's not pale at all? No, all of my temperature controls are available via the web as well as with the app. The app site and Nest will also show my historical usage for the last 10 days. Also, the thermostat will go into the auto away mode on its own when you leave the house for several hours, or I can just choose away with the app. Away with you, app! Longtime listener, Steve in South Carolina. Hey, thanks. I did look at them. They are kind of pricey. There's the version 10 and the model 10 and model 20. Model 10s are now going for about $225 a unit, and the model 20s are like $270 or $280. That's $280.
Do you have two thermostats or one?
Have three because I have zoned heating.
So that
could get quite pricey to spend about $750 on thermostats.
Yep, it would. But it does look pretty cool. I wonder if it would be advantageous to see the temperatures other. I don't know if it would or not. The temperature is like other people in your area are setting.
Whose house is hotter? And then hack somebody else's house?
Look at the Steinbergs over there. They're really burning it up over there.
Marty, the Johnsons keep the heat at 72. You think we are cranking up from 67?
Shut up there, Edith. No, sorry. never mind. Anyway.
Did you see the videos for First World Problems?
I have seen some.
Go Google First World Problems on YouTube. Google okay. on YouTube. That's redundant, isn't it?
Yeah,
Google and YouTube. And there's a video out there, and the lady's going, "It's so cold, so cold. Somebody set the thermostat to 72, and I need it at 73. And it's all these really stupid things. You go, you know what? That is stupid. And people complain about this stuff. Oh, I have terrible. Too many chips for my dip, but if I open up more dip, then I'll have too much dip for my chips.
Look, there's not enough hot dogs for all these buns.
But if I open more buns, then there'll be more buns than there are hot dogs. Yeah, it's an first world problems. Makes you laugh, and it makes you think every time you have something stupid. It's like, you know what? I couldn't log into my laptop today. I had to call support. They gave me a backup account. And I'm thinking, this is a first world problem right there. I can live without a laptop. I can do a lot of things on any computer because we run a cloud-based business. Mm-hmm.
Like, well, I'd like to see SSH into a server on your notepad.
Hey, all you need is the keys, man.
Your pen and paper.
All you need is the keys.
You're sitting there, draw a little console, you know, a box, and write out the commands.
Just go. I like the one from Haiti, too, where the kid says, "I told them not to give me pickles, and they still give me pickles on my hamburger." It's like, this kid looks like he hasn't had a hamburger in about ever.
I know.
Good news, anyone?
First up in the news, we have Halloween stories, because it's our Halloween episode, in case you didn't catch on by now.
Yeah.
How dangerous is pumpkin carving? Science investigates with severed human limbs. Pumpkin
what?
Carving can be treacherous business, and is not just for pumpkins. In fact, according to the 2004 article, this is recent news, isn't it? Published in the Journal of Preventive Medicine, it's actually easier to cut human flesh than it is to cut a pumpkin. I'm glad they tested this for us.
I'll take their word for it.
Over at The Guardian, Mark Abrahams, editor of the Annals, that's Annals, not of Improbable Research and curator of All Things Scientifically Weird. Hey, we got to talk to this guy.
Yeah.
Explains, Alexander M. Marcus, Jason K. Green, and Frederick W. Werner at the State University of New York Upstate Medical University. That's a lot of titles. In Syracuse, published a study they called The Safety of Pumpkin Carving Tools in the Journal of Preventive Medicine. Pumpkin carving accidents, as quoted, quote, pumpkin carving accidents, unquote, they inform their peers who read the report, quote, may leave people with compromised hand function.
I don't like the sound of that.
Sounds like something your dad told you not to do, too.
Yeah.
You'll go blind. There are several kinds of lacerations and puncture wounds that can lead to the hand compromisation. Lacerations occur, quote, when the knife blade travels across the surface of the hand, or, quote, when the knife is accidentally pushed too far forward and cuts the opposite hand, stabilizing the pumpkin, or, quote, when the cutting hand slips forward off the handle and onto the blade, in which case injury occurs across zone 2 of the volar surface. Isn't that where curiosity went?
You know what? This sounds like? Sounds like they're trying to be very PC about the ways you can cut your hand.
It's medical. Do you remember the different types of wounds? I there was some acronym like pain. There was puncture, abrasion,
laceration.
Incision. Yeah, laceration. Maybe it was pale, not pain.
Pale.
Pain is what you get. But I thought there were two A's. There was like
pain's
abrasion
associated with
and
all of these options.
There was some acronym that I had, mnemonic for the different types of wounds, but I don't remember where they are. Amazed I remembered four of them.
Huh. Well, they all
look
hurt.
At that, kids. You learn something new on Technorama every day.
Yeah, there you go.
Don't
be gone with you.
Don't carve pumpkins. It's easier to carve your hand.
Yes.
And since we're dressing up for Halloween, so did some other people. Captain America, Batman, Superman, and Spidey adorably storm a children's hospital. Aww. Looks like crime is low, so they have to stoop to washing windows for a living.
Well, Batman's got to afford those nice toys somehow.
Holy window washers, Batman!
Hey, wait. I don't see Robin up there. What's up with that?
He's out selling tickets. It's cosplay for a cause. A Pennsylvania children's hospital got a surprise pop-in from Batman, Captain America, Spider-Man, and Superman. Iron Man was nowhere to be found. Straight out of the sky, Allegheny Window Cleaning Inc. decided to put on superhero costumes.
Okay, easy for enough for you to say. What?
I skipped over the words on purpose. While cleaning the windows at Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh in hopes of surprising the patients. Okay, so here's little Joey dying of leukemia, and he goes, Mom, Superman's outside the window. Okay, he's delirious. Put him down.
Yeah, see if he'll give me a flight.
According to the UPI, the kids just loved it. Thanks for the tip and the photo.
I bet that was a good time, though.
As long as they keep it appropriate, family friendly.
Hey, we get window washers all the time in my building. I would like for them to dress up like that.
Remember how Batman and Robin used to climb the walls?
Yeah. And talk to all the actors and
with the
big
crooked
name
cameras.
People. Yeah. That's funny.
Hacks and strange stories.
So, over at one of the websites, I found a video of a man not carving a pumpkin with a knife, as most people do, or one of those little handsaw things that we've recently done to make detailed carvings. He carved it with a gun. This is like one of those semi-automatic pistols. I think it was a 1911 or something.
Let's carve it with some dynamite.
He puts it on a stump and he goes, bang, bang, bang. There's one eye. And he's a pretty accurate shot. Bang, bang, bang. And after about halfway through the mouth, he runs out. So he pops in another clip and he finishes it up. And he picks it up. He goes, whoa, there's a face on the other side. Yeah, hey, where the bullets came out.
That's one way to scare the crap out of your neighborhood kids. Just set this out on the porch.
And shoot at it.
Yeah. You want some candy?
We do not recommend this. Please do not try this at home. But bullets aren't cheap.
I guess not.
$15-$20 He probably went through about $10 worth of ammunition carving this pumpkin. No, thank you, sir.
Good Lord.
Yeah.
What's up with ammunition and gas? Is the price in correlation with each other?
What was that? One guns and whiskey or programming is like, what did you do? You had a geek thoughts at one point that I forgot about.
I have to go back in the vault for that one.
Something about guns and whiskey and programming or something. I'll have to listen. We got so many of those old things. We don't remember
something.
Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. That was funny.
That was good, but we don't remember the...
From 2005. Look, folks. We're getting old. We can't remember everything we said. In fact, if you ask us on Thursday what we said on the podcast on Wednesday, we probably don't remember.
Yeah. That's why we ask for feedback, so it'll kind of remember, we can remember.
That's why we record it, because we have no memory left anymore.
Oh, wait, we're recording?
So for me to scrape up something about, punctures, abrasions, lacerations, and whatnot, that's just a fluke.
Yeah.
A woman finds love on the internet. Well, that's not surprising. You go to eHarmony to find that. But one girl is looking for love by looking for people with coding skills. Mad coding skills.
Okay.
It's not totally unlike online dating, but Noriko Higashi, a programmer at a social gaming company, posted a request for a boyfriend on GitHub, the social coding platform, outlining what she wants in a partner. If you can code, you have a chance at love.
Does Ruby on Rails qualify?
Bonus points for running. Bonus points for running your own server. Beta Beat dug up her boyfriend _ require file. I love that.
And then quickly, one of the guys checked in to GitHub the first Fortran program.
And it's fantastically geeky. Some of her interests are traditional, like wanting to date someone who's good with children and likes to eat vegetables. But it's the nerd requirements that are tickling our Cupid's arrows. For example, someone who writes beautiful code. It makes me cry tears of joy. That's a requirement.
Hey, as long as I can read it, I have tears of joy.
Hey, as long as somebody throws some comments in there, I have tears of joy.
Yep, bingo.
Someone who maintains their own server required. Linux preferred.
Sorry, I'm taken.
Are you having second thoughts here, Craig?
No, I said, sorry, I'm taken.
Someone who will let me help them maintain their own server. Whoa, that's personal.
Yeah, no, you lose a point there.
Will you share your private key with me? Someone with public repos on GitHub. Hey, baby, want to share my private key?
Yeah, look, I'm looking at my public repos. Woohoo!
To be fair, not repos. That's the cars you get back after people default on their loan.
That's right.
To be fair, she only asks for access to your servers if you're a fellow programmer or engineer. If you're a civilian, all you have to worry about is not smoking and be able to tolerate social gaming companies like Bazinga, Gree, or Mobage. Higashi has 30 references or preferences in her coding ad for a boyfriend, and if you can meet up to 28, she'd love to hear from you.
So look up her dot plan today. Ooh.
I'd like to see. Can you show me your flowchart? Your
flowchart. Hey, baby.
Want to see my process flow diagram?
I'm curious how that turns out, actually.
And finally, this came from a gentleman at work, actually, and then I saw it a couple more times. Shark falls from sky onto golf course? At the San Juan Hills Golf Club in Southern California. Course hazards include the usual sand traps and falling sharks.
What is this, like putt-putt?
They did on Monday, October 22nd in the afternoon when a 2-foot-long live leopard shark apparently plummeted from the sky and landed very close to the 12th tee box at San Juan Capistrano, California. The writhing fish out of water was discovered by an on-duty course marshal who acted fast to save the shark, according to Capistrano Dispatch. He loaded it onto his golf cart. The visions of this is great. And drove it back to the clubhouse, where it stopped off at the 19th tee, where other employees joined the cause to save the wayward animal. After briefly placing the shark in a bucket of homemade salt water, cart attendant Brian Stizer used his brake to drive the shark to the Pacific Ocean about 4 miles away. I thought he was dead, Stizer told the dispatch. When I dropped him off in the water, he just lied there for a few seconds, and then he did a twist and shot off into the water.
Wow.
The shark reportedly had 2 bleeding wounds near its dorsal fin, is thought to have been dropped over the golf course by a predatory bird. Well, that makes sense. Not one of those tornado, you know, whirlpool cyclone things that picks up frogs and whatnot.
Yeah, I was going to say, I heard about frogs or something like that. This has all the makings of a reality TV show. See what kind of hazards they have on this golf course.
Stizer immediately went looking in the bushes for a hidden camera.
So Chuck, next time you go play golf, you have to keep an eye up, you know?
Right, right. Which I did last summer when I played with my brother because there was lightning all around. I think I told you about that.
Yeah.
The lightning round of golf.
You're going to do the,
video. That was the most beautiful tee shot I ever had.
What's that stupid movie? The golf,
Caddyshack?
Caddyshack. Yeah, you know, we're in Caddyshack.
Oh, yeah, we were doing that plenty. This is the greatest. I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for a while yet.
I haven't played a game like this in forever.
This is the greatest game of my life. That's right. Boy.
Hey, you know, this reminds me. Me and Harrison laughed about this. We watched America's Funniest Home Videos, and one time they had a video where this little kid was, I think his parents, him and his dad or something, caught a fish.
Yeah,
he went and put it back in the water, and for a second the fish didn't do anything. All of a sudden it did, like he was talking about, it started wiggling and shot off, and all of a sudden, psh, a bird came and grabbed it. Perfect. That's perfect, like, timing.
I released the baby bunny into the field. The hawk comes and gets it.
Yeah, he's gone.
We are going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with the Remember When segment. And we have more stuff in the media corner. And I just got to tell you, our listeners are smarter than this. I shouldn't have to remind you, but it's time to change your password. We'll help you pick out a good one, or at least tell you not to use the bad ones.
I'm scared to say anything on the show anymore. You're going to stick it in one of the sweepers.
I say things on purpose to be in the sweepers.
It works perfectly. It was easy enough. Bam. Connected. And you don't need a PC to do it. I did it all with the remote control.
I'm certain about that.
What is this? Well, I'm game. I'll try it. I tried to do large. I did the small and the medium ones. No problem. Smooth as silk.
Geek Thoughts.
Programming is like sex. Neither is a good subject for dinner conversation.
This is Clinton from Comedy Forecast, and you're listening to Technorama. Shame on you.
In the Remember When segment, we have... Oh, remember when people used to dress up with cool costumes for Halloween?
Wait a minute, I thought this said people dressed up as buildings?
Yeah! This is from 1931. If you were a New York architect in 1931, the height of the social season was the Beaux Arts Costume Ball. That's when fancy dress consisted of a costume based of your most famous architectural design.
Looks...
Here are the architects and the buildings in question, courtesy of Archive Digger. New York's architects dressed up in 1931 Beaux Arts Costume Ball as the buildings they designed. From left to right, A. Stuart Walker as the Fuller Building, Leonard Schultze as the Waldorf Astoria, Eli Jacques Kahn as the Squibb Building, William Van Allen as the Chrysler, Ralph Walker as One Wall Street.
Hey, I'm sure this isn't the legacy these people were looking for in their lives.
The music was great with this fake Don Pardo.
Yeah.
D.E. Ward as the Metropolis Tower, and Joseph H. Freelander as the Museum of New York. He's got a museum on his head.
You know, these guys probably did wonderful work in their lives, and this is the picture we remember him for.
You got to put the picture on the webcam, dude. Come on, you're supposed to be on the video end of these things.
Sorry, I'm too busy.
Julie's old job. It's just hysterical. Zoom in, zoom in.
Yeah. There you go. Hey, like that.
That's amazing. Lovely.
Yeah, isn't that sweet?
The funny thing is, they all have pretty much the same jacket on.
This guy right here in the middle, he looks like Ming the Merciless or something.
Bring me to your leader. I am the Chrysler Building.
I want Flash Gordon now.
Dale Arden means nothing to me.
Oh, my goodness.
That's a trip.
All right. In the media corner, we have... Oh, the... Denny's menu is out, and look, so is The Hobbit. So they put the two together and came up with The Hobbit, the unspectacular menu.
I agree.
Now, why did they call the movie The Hobbit, the Unexpected Journey? That's not the name of the book.
Because there's actually three parts, and the next one's about the dragon and about Smaug, and then
that's all part of the Hobbit story.
Well, I'm not sure what they had to split it. They split it up into two.
I would have called it The Hobbit There and Back Again, or no, There and Back Again, A Hobbit's Tale, like Bilbo called his book. But if you'd done that, they wouldn't have had the branding of The Hobbit. Just leave it at The Hobbit. Anyway, they've come up with The Hobbit menu at Denny's, the restaurant here in the U.S. It's a restaurant chain. They've got new Lonely Mountain Treasure. Mm-mm. Looks like a bunch of rocks and some
I'm trying
Weetabix.
To pull it up here.
They've got the Radagast Red Velvet Pancake Puppies. Yummy.
Who's that Sigourney? Oh, that's a Sigourney Weaver wax head on the side.
Yeah, wow, it looks pretty good.
Yeah, it was really good. Till you
is
see
that on the Denny's menu also?
Sigourney Weaver or the aliens?
Well,
Bilbo's berry smoothie. How does it vary from the last smoothie? It's the same smoothie. Because yeah,
they actually employ Gollum to go in the back and catch fish.
Mmm, that's great bass. The bass smoothie. The bass-o-matic.
The bass smoothie.
Because they should probably fire their entire marketing department, Denny's has teamed up with The Hobbit to release a Middle-earth theme menu. It features such mouthwatering options as The Hobbit Whole Breakfast, Gandalf's Gobble Melt, Frodo's Pot Roast Skillet, and Shire Sausage and Seed Cake French Toast. What's Shire Sausage? Same as the regular sausage.
Don't ask. No.
Frodo's Pot Roast Skillet, the same dang pot roast skillet they were selling last month. Not to sound too Sherlock Holmesy or anything, but I'm starting to think the only relation to The Hobbit are the names.
You know what's sad? Is that, you know, The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings mean so much to so many people on such so many different levels, and they've reduced it to a Denny's menu.
I'd like to go in there and make a special order.
I'm sure Tolkien is rolling in his grave right now.
I'd like the Gamgee flapjacks. The Gamgee grits.
Yeah. Want the Merry and Pippin fruit basket.
Don't go there. Stop right there. Family-friendly podcast.
No, I mean, you remember
No.
You know, he gave him the apples. And
after the show, I'll tell you a funny story of what Lisa said.
I wonder what the menu looks like for second breakfast.
Or Levensies. Second breakfast. It's the same breakfast, only a couple hours under the heat lamp.
Yeah, they changed the names a little bit.
In the Geek Library, we know we want you to change your passwords, and here are 2012's top passwords. Very unimaginative. Coming in at number one, password. Its rank is unchanged. It's still the number one dumb password and most common password. Number two is the password 123456. Only a little more secure, still maintaining its number rank at number three is 123456789.
Hey, I think they do that when they're forced to change their password and it can't be the same as last year.
They just add a digit.
Yeah, add one digit.
Up one from number five. Now at number four is ABC123. Interestingly enough, I don't see 123 ABC on here.
Wait a minute, how do they know these?
Probably from hacking. Just try them out. So, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to try to get into somebody's system, here they are. 25 of the most common ones. QWERTY, monkey, let me in, which looks more like a Chinese menu of let main, but we'll go with that. Yeah,
let me.
That's what I thought. Let me in. I thought that log me in site always looked like a Chinese menu option, log main.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Dragon. 111111, which could also be confused with an RGB color value. Baseball, I love you, trust no one. At least they put a digit in that one. Yeah. 123456789.
Yeah. The reason they can't use that is for sites that force you to have eight or more characters.
Right. Sunshine, master. Oh, master is down one. Up four is 123123. A new entry on the list, welcome.
Welcome.
Shadow comes in at number 18. At number 19, Ashley. Really? That's down three.
Ashley.
Up five, football. A new entry. Jesus. Jesus has just made the list.
He's new too.
I kind of feel like Casey Kasem. Up two from last week. Coming in at number 22 is Michael.
And now we got a special dedication.
New to the charts as Ninja at 23. Also new to the charts. Oh, that's hard on the throat. I need more beer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we Mustang have at 24. And finally at 25, password one. Closely related to number one. Look, people, there are better passwords in the world. Think of a favorite song and take the first letter. Whatever. Take your mother's maiden name and start putting numbers in for letters.
Change I will confess, I remember having a system that had let me in. That was the only one I've used on this board.
Take what time you go to work and use things like I come in at 8 a.m. You know, I C I 8 a.m. You know, just something easy. With an at sign. You can even put an at sign in there. ICI at 8 a.m. Even better. Something easy,
just use Dragon.
Fine. Go for password and I'll steal your bank account.
Yeah.
Password, suits password. Me. If you're that dumb, you're that dumb. Oh, you know what? That was my What the Chuck, and I didn't even have a sweeper. I thought that was in the Geek Library. So this week, it's in the Geek Library, along with how do toilets work on an airplane?
Wow, okay.
I see this. You know, I see stories like this, and I just think Technorama listeners are dying to know. Aircraft laboratories have come a long way since the early days of commercial air travel. Early flyers used slop buckets. And in World War II, pilots tossed piss-filled bottles out the unpressurized windows. Seriously.
Hey, did you ever see that movie, The Gods Must Be Crazy? That's actually the whole...
We just rented that, actually, on Netflix. It's still available.
That's the whole premise right there.
No, it wasn't piss-filled bottles. It was a Coke bottle.
Yeah, explain the difference.
Now, airborne waste control technology could put the Jetsons to shame. Here's what happens when you flush at 35,000 feet. An airplane's facilities work on a different principle than that of conventional siphon toilet found in your home, and for good reason. Siphon toilets rely on water-filled bowl to help initiate the passive suction effect that drains them. However, water in the bowl, either by design or due to turbulent or due to a turbulence-induced slosh, there's nothing to flush. And since cabins are now pressurized, the old bucket and open window techniques don't work either. Fair catch! Inside planes today rely on actively powered evacuation systems. Through the mid-80s, airplane toilets used Anatech, which sounds a lot like that place they worked on, Office Space. Anatech. Yeah,
that's Anatech.
Someone had a Anatech mug. They were Darth Vader, and they had the suspenders. And
yeah, I saw that. Yeah, I saw that picture floating around.
Yeah, I'm going to need to come and work on the Death Star on Saturday. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah, Sunday, too. Yeah.
Anatech was that blue deodorizing liquid you see in the bottom of porta-johns to push waste from the bowl into onboard storage tanks. Electric pumps actively drove the process, circulating fresh fluid throughout with every flush. Sounds like refreshing, right? Yeah. While certainly a step up from buckets, these systems pose significant drawbacks. Planes, for example, had to haul hundreds of gallons of Anatech for every flight, which increased their fuel consumption and reduced the number of passengers they could carry. In addition, here's the best part, early Anatech formulas were formaldehyde and bleach-based, which are severe eye and skin irritants. But it gets better. Anatech's worst drawback, though, was that systems were prone to leaking. Occasionally, these leaks would escape the hull, forming a frigid ball of stuff. We won't tell you what the stuff is. You can imagine it. And blue fluid on the exterior of the plane. As the aircraft dropped in altitude on its landing approach, the ball would partially thaw and break away from the craft and plummet to Earth. I remember news stories about this.
Good Lord.
Big blue iceberg lands on somebody's house.
It was on the Mythbusters. They did that.
Did they have that one?
They did it in like a NASA air tunnel. They were getting big chunks. I don't know. I'm trying to remember if it would actually be big enough to fall and hurt. Yeah, I think it did.
Well, when dropped from a sufficient height, frozen human excrement can be surprisingly destructive. Between 79 and 2003, at least 27 wads of blue ice fell from the sky in the United States alone, impacting with enough force to tear through roofs and smash cars.
That's just what you need to find a little human excrement in the middle of your car with the roofs all...
Honey, I'm leaving for...
Yeah. Hey, this story's a load of crap.
Even though it was a long shot, the potential to crush an innocent person's skull with falling frozen feces was enough to convince the airplane industry to develop a fluid-free alternative. So in 1975, inventor James Kemper... Thank you, James Kemper, patented the terrifyingly loud vacuum toilets we use today.
Remember Tommy Boy? He got his tie stuck in it.
First installed in Boeing in 1982, vacuum toilets rely on strong suction and slick walls to pull waste away in just a fraction of a gallon of water. Pressing the flush button opens a valve in the bottom of the bowl, exposing the contents to pneumatic vacuum.
Pneumatic.
I said conifer. Come on, Chuck. You didn't think that one. The VEC sucks the load pomatic down the plane's sewer line into a 200-gallon holding tank. Vapors and all, the Teflon-like non-stick coating around the inside of the bowl assists with the transfer. Then, waste remains in the tank for the duration of the flight and is vacuumed out by crews on the ground. What a job. Somebody's got to do it, and we appreciate it.
Hey, by the way, somebody did not put their paper products in the toilet, which it, like you're supposed to, but look, they put it in the sink.
And why next time you're on an airplane, look when you close that door. It says no smoking, yet there's an ashtray on the door.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to remember if I saw one last time, but yeah, I've seen them before.
I took a picture of it and put it on G+. Surprisingly, the Kemper system has held on as the industry standard technology for 30 years now. The FAA still receives plenty of poo falling from planes reports, as if we were back in the blue ice days. But a majority of these complaints come in the fall and always in the midst of bird migration season.
Now it's come in the fall.
Right. Bird migration season.
Yeah.
So while the witnesses are correct, it is poo falling from the sky. It's just not the type of poo you can blame on the FAA. Now you know, Technorama listeners, you've learned two things this week.
Hey, the more you know, da-da-da.
The safer you are. We need a second part to that equation.
No, you remember on the Saturday mornings? The more you know. Yeah.
I remember. That's going to do it for our Halloween show. And a load of poo it was, too. If you're in the U.S., don't forget to vote next Tuesday in the election. Please. Do us all a favor and vote.
For Chuck and Craig. At
yeah, right.
The Parsec Awards.
That's last year. We're not gonna get an award for this crappy show. We'll just keep flying along like we always do.
I know.
If we can't get along with our potty humor, what else are we going to do? We appreciate your support, though, flush the cash. We appreciate your support. If you like the show, there are many ways to show your love. Call listener line 206-222-2428. We have not heard from you right there in a long, long time. That's like the Fat Albert show.
Yeah.
Remember he used to stick his finger in the camera?
Yeah.
You can email us at technorama@chuckchat.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, Google+. You know, I don't think Technorama's on LinkedIn, but you and I are. Links to all this stuff and the show notes are out there. If you're really kind-hearted and have a buck or two to spare, there's always the tip jar on the webpage. Thank you for everyone who's donated so far in the past. We really appreciate your months, years of support in many cases. And that is all I'm going to say about that.
Okay.
Special thanks to Mad Mar for providing great blog content during the week, and everyone who sent us links during the show.
Some of you sent us links and you didn't know about it.
Surprise.
Like that shark from the sky was stolen from work. And those
the
of
real
you
shark.
Nobody joined us in the chat room this week because we had to record on an off day, but those of you who are usually around know who you are, and we want to see you there if you used to be. We're still there on Sunday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time. Join us. We'll send out a tweet. We'll send out a G+ announcement, and you'll know where we are. And thank you, faithful listener, for downloading and listening to the show. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com, also affiliated with all the great shows at Farpoint Media. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama, and as always, give me a binary high five.
Ooh, 101.
Blah, blah. I'm going to drink your earbloods.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.